right. Welcome, everybody. This is Mary Craig Ministries and Craig House Christian Fellowship. We are in a series, The Gift of the Holy Spirit. The message today is the Holy Spirit preparing disciples for service. It is October 23, 2022, and I am Dr. Mary Craig. And so let's pray.
Holy Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, whose we are and whom we serve. We thank you for the body and blood sacrifice of Christ on our behalf. We thank you for his life of radical obedience, perfect personal perpetual obedience, even to death on the cross. We thank you that he fulfilled all righteousness, even to dying to pay the penalty for sin, redeeming those for whom he died by his blood, the sacrifice of himself. We thank you he brought the reconciliation that overcomes alienation from you, that by this reconciliation we can know you as Father. We thank you that Jesus bore your wrath, bore the curse, bore the sin, and bore the glory. Jesus destroyed the works of darkness, defeating Satan and his kingdom publicly. We thank you, Lord God, for those in Christ were chosen before the foundation of the world, and we are accepted in the Beloved. We thank you that Jesus died, that he was buried, that he rose again from the dead, out from among the dead, and ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Almighty. Jesus Christ is King of kings, Lord of lords, God the Son, Son of God, ruler over the kings of this earth, and coming again in power and great glory. We thank you for the sending of the Holy Spirit, and we ask that the Holy Spirit come as the Spirit of truth, guiding us into the truth, that he come as the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, revealing Jesus Christ to us, and granting us wisdom for the days in which we live. We ask that the Holy Spirit open our eyes to comprehend, understand, and perceive what you have for us today. Open the eyes of our minds and open the eyes of our hearts to receive. Honor our desire to glorify you. We come before you in humility on bended knee with our heads bowed. We pray that we be renewed in the spirit of our minds and put on the new man which was created according to you, God, in true righteousness and holiness. That you would sanctify us by your word and by your Holy Spirit, that we may open our mouths boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ with love, compassion, and grace, that we might love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Okay, so the Holy Spirit works through people, though not necessarily exclusively. We can trace the action of the Holy Spirit in uniting a company of disciples in prayer and then in moving them to continue waiting for the promise of the Father. One of the names of the Holy Spirit is Promise of the Father. We can learn from this for our own lives. Disciples, those who are learners, and who follow Jesus Christ, are Christians first and then called to labor. The first disciples had natural gifts, but they were required to wait for the Holy Spirit in an attitude of humility, praying and waiting until they were endued with power from on high. They were not to proceed with the work Christ had commissioned them to do, namely to go and make disciples of all nations, etc., without the power they would receive. They were rather clueless about what everything meant and about their instructions received from Jesus until this power came upon them. They needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Some disciples had witnessed the baptism of Christ. John the Baptist had said, and I'm going to read the bold,
upon whom you shall see the Spirit descending and abiding upon him, the same as he that baptizes with the Holy Spirit.
We must see Jesus baptized with the Holy Spirit. We need to try to understand how he needed this baptism, how he was prepared for it, how he yielded to it, how he died his death and was raised again, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Because remember, he was taking our place. Jesus was born a child of the Holy Spirit. In the power of the Spirit, he grew up a holy child and youth, entered manhood, and came to John the Baptist as he began his public ministry. He submitted to the baptism of repentance in our place and on our behalf. The reward of his obedience was the Father's seal of approval on his having thus far yielded to the control of the Holy Spirit. And this is what was said.
This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.
The leading and power of the Holy Spirit became his more consciously, Luke 4, verses 1, 14, and 22, than before. He is now anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power, according to Acts 10, verse 38. And now here is Acts 10, verse 38.
How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him.
Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to face temptation and overcome it. He learned obedience in the things which he suffered. And made his experiences, all of them. Through the eternal Spirit, he offered himself a sacrifice unto God, Hebrews 9:14, and then receives the Holy Spirit with the power to baptize all who belong to him, Acts 2, verses 32 and 33. This baptism is not the Holy Spirit regenerating. In Acts 1, verse 4, the disciples were already partakers of the grace of regeneration. It was more. It was the conscious presence of the glorified Christ, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit as the promised comforter, and their participation in the power of Christ's new life. It was a baptism of joy and power. In their conscious living fellowship with Jesus on the throne of glory. I'm talking about a living bond with the Father's power and presence. We see the coming of the Holy Spirit on the disciples in Acts chapter 4, on the Samaritans in Acts chapter 8, on the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10, and on the 12 disciples at Ephesus in Acts chapter 19. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is something we need and must know that we have if we are to live the Christian life more fully. The Holy Spirit is given to those who obey him, Acts 5, verse 32. This is a conscious awareness of the Spirit of Christ abiding in us in the power of his glorified nature, as he is exalted above every enemy. It is the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, setting us free from the law of sin and death and bringing us into the liberty of the sons of God, the liberty from sin as sinners to the liberty of sons who obey and do the will of their Father in heaven. Boldness and courage come with it. The Holy Spirit empowers one to be able to obey in loyalty and devotion, in confidence, in gratitude, and with deep reverence. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we yield to reproof and seek guidance, listen for his voice, and learn to love in a God-honoring way. Jesus had prepared his disciples for a change in the worship system that was coming with the inauguration of the new covenant in his blood. In John 4, verses 23 and 24, Jesus tells how his coming means that true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for God is spirit. No longer would worship be tied to a physical location on the planet. I'm going to say that again because too many people have this idea trying to tie God and the worship of God to certain places on the planet. And, of course, the kingdom of darkness loves to do that. No longer would worship be tied to a physical location on planet Earth. So Paul in Philippians 3, verse 3, would say this.
We are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh.
With the advent of the Holy Spirit, the disciples were empowered to put the soul under the control of the Holy Spirit. Ah, people don't like to do that. The flesh is at war with the spirit. For the unregenerate person, the soul is under the control of the flesh. A person's physical senses dominate. See? The soul realm, your physical senses dominate. There's five of them. Look them up. Okay. But the person renewed and empowered by the Holy Spirit walks in a spiritual wisdom, serving God, having a spiritual mind, the mind of Christ, in order to do the will of the Father. Thus, there is a worship which satisfies the flesh and a worship that is of God in the Spirit. True worshipers must worship the Father in spirit and in truth. All worshipers are not true worshipers. The spirit is at war against the flesh. We need the Holy Spirit's indwelling for life and worship. We need spiritual senses. And the flesh and the body need to come under the control of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. So healing actually goes in the reverse of how many people think about it. Healing goes from spirit to soul to body. Jesus taught his disciples the power of his words. John 6, verse 63 and 68. Jesus' words are spirit and they are life. The word is a seed. The seed has a hidden life that needs a living soil in which to grow. And that soil is a soil of humility. The word has a divine life that is to be received in one's spirit, or God's spirit dwells. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of the glorified Jesus. The disciples received the Holy Spirit after Jesus rose from the dead. He breathed on them the breath of life. The glorifying of Jesus and the streaming forth of his spirit connect in a vital, organic, and spiritual union. Trust in the cross work of Christ and its pardon, but then seek to know the life of glory and divine power to which the Holy Spirit bears witness. Andrew Murray says, and I'm going to have Stephen read this.
The Holy Spirit is able to be to us just as much as we are willing to have of Him and of the life of the glorified Lord. That's from Murray, page 40. As we enter into the death of the cross, His for me and mine with Him, our hearts can open for the Spirit's revelation of the glorified Christ. And then we have a one. Okay, ooh, looks like there are a lot of these. Okay. Number one, Jesus prepared His disciples for the coming of the Comforter. In John 14, 16, and 17, there is within the believer a new spirit within which the Spirit of Christ now dwells. Believers are the temple of this Spirit and thus are and will be sanctified by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's presence within the believer is permanent and very close. He is always there, and we must remember that. And then number two, Jesus prepared His disciples for the obedience that must precede the baptism of the Spirit. For 3 years, Jesus trained them. He attached Himself to them personally. He taught them, and they called Him Master and Lord. They had to learn to do what He said. He spoke of obedience to His commands as the one condition of all further spiritual blessing. Therefore, the obedient must and may look for the fullness of the Spirit. We mourn over disobedience, especially when the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, but we must go beyond that to seek the gift of repentance, to change, to ask the Holy Spirit's help to obey Him. We are to seek a living obedience and a loving obedience, an obedience born out of loyalty and devotion to Christ. God's will must be accepted as our only law. This is from 2 Corinthians 1:12.
All right. Number three. Jesus prepared His disciples for knowing the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. John 14, verse 17. And you can cross-reference to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. In Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Disciples need true spiritual knowledge. This takes humility, not a know-it-all attitude. The Word of God is God-breathed. Disciples must, by the Spirit, mortify the deeds of the body to live. God reveals what was hidden. The Holy Spirit is the divine revelation of the glorified Christ as Savior and King. He is a person. Treat Him according to the person that He is. Believers receive the Holy Spirit in order to know a knowledge that comes from God, in order to do the will of God, who is true. God is the one true and living God. And remember, the Father is God. We have one God in three distinct persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Always remember, the Holy Spirit is God. He's the Spirit of the Father, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and His name is the Holy Spirit. There are many purported gods called the no-gods in the Bible. They're the no-gods. Today it is good to refer to the real God as the living God. There's only we have a living God, the living God, the living Spirit, living Word. The others have no life in them and do not give life. And so they are, quote, no thing, unquote. No hyphen thing. They are nothing. They are no thing. Jesus said, the prince of this world comes, and he has nothing in me. He has no thing in me. Nothing. Jesus prepared his disciples by charging them to wait. Acts 1, verse 4. Wait for the promise of the Father. Waiting sets up a longing, a pleading in earnest prayer, a desire for fulfillment, a sense of the lack without what was promised, an acknowledgement of weakness. Waiting in silence can help us remember that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of prayer. He is there to help us. Wait for the Holy Spirit. Ask for wisdom. Feel your weakness. Acts 1, verses 5 and 8. Luke 24, verse 49. The disciples had to wait until the time came to proceed to do their work in the face of the promise that the Holy Spirit would be given to them. When he showed up, it was obvious. It was obvious. Here's another quote from Andrew Murray.
The economy of power, this is from Murray, page 94, the economy of power is one of the great moving springs in all organization and industry. The Spirit is the great power of God. The Holy Spirit, the great power of God's redemption. As it comes down from the throne of Him to whom all power has been given. I don't know if I said that correctly. He said, I'll read it again. The economy of power is one of the great moving springs in all organization and industry. The Spirit, capital S, is the great power of God. The Holy Spirit, the great power of God's redemption, as it comes down from the throne of Him to whom all power has been given.
The purpose of this power given is to carry on the work for which Jesus sacrificed his life. Jesus calls his disciples to be witnesses unto him. That has to do with being. We are being. We are witnesses. It's something we are. We are being a witness. Now, you can be a good witness or a bad witness. But we're being. Jesus bore witness to the truth. We are to bear witness to Jesus, who is truth. So being a witness is what we do. Doing is what we do as witnesses to the watching world. So we have to think of us that everywhere we go, whatever we're doing, we are being a witness. You might be the only Christian that someone meets, and they will judge all of Christianity and God based on one person. Well, I met a Christian once. And that can be for good or bad. We can be a good witness or a bad witness. And we're usually a little mixture there. But we are witnesses to the watching world, and believe me, they are watching. The Holy Spirit makes us witnesses because He Himself is a witness. In fact, He is the witness. Peter preached in boldness on the day of Pentecost of what he knew. we can only witness to as much of Jesus as the Holy Spirit is witnessing to us in life and truth. The Holy Spirit hides himself in the weak things that God has chosen so that flesh may not glory in his presence. 1 Corinthians 2:3-5, for example. We may feel nothing, and we don't need to. God gives the Spirit to the obedient. God does not give his power for selfish ends, like saving someone from trouble and effort. He gives it to glorify his Son, Jesus. God exerts power in and through weakness. He owns the power. The power is the power of a person who has a will and a purpose for it. All right, let's go, Jesus. I know the devil doesn't like to hear any of this message, folks. I'm having such trouble getting it out. We're going to carry on, and that's just it. The disciples learned to live under the power of another. To be over others, to conquer, we must first be under the highest power and then go and do what he says. And see, the thing is about some organizations talk about a higher power, but and one fellow I talked to had chosen a tree. I mean, something way lower on the order of creation to be his higher power. Okay, so. But we as Christians, as believers, are under the highest power, El Elyon. God is the highest power. He is God Most High. All right, then go and do what he says. 1 Corinthians 6:18-20. In the new covenant, the believer receives God's Spirit within, a living person dwelling within. And I've talked before, I won't do it again today, about what that might be like. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit, and he doesn't always manifest his presence to us, but he's always there. And he is a person with a mind, a will, and a heart, and emotions. And he can make himself known. Believe me. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Father, the Spirit of Christ. We might say, as some say, God's inmost self. The Spirit of man is his inmost self. Andrew Murray says, he becomes to me what he was to Jesus, the very life of my personality or personhood. We strive for harmony between a home and its occupant. An understanding of what it means, Christ in you, the hope of glory. All right, the blood and the oil go together. Leviticus 14:1-18. Jesus cleanses with his blood and baptizes with the Holy Spirit. As the Lamb, Jesus takes away sin. As the Anointed, he baptizes with the Spirit. Only by shedding his blood did Jesus receive the Holy Spirit to pour forth on those for whom he died, as promised. You have to realize, Jesus is God. He already had the fullness of the Spirit. But when he went through these things, he's doing this in our place and for us. He's doing these things for us and in our place for our benefit. Again, the blood and the oil go together. The Spirit comes where the blood is applied. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, Paul contrasts unregenerate man with the spiritual. The soul is under the power of the flesh, human nature, and receives sensations from the outer world. The Bible speaks of the attributes of the soul as belonging to the flesh and being under its power unless there is regeneration by the Holy Spirit and new life given. So we have a lot of scripture here. The following verses contrast flesh and spirit. And I'm going to have Stephen read this. It starts here, the following.
In 1 Corinthians 2:14, Paul contrasts unregenerate man with the spiritual. Oh, I see. The following verses, I'm not sure where we are.
The following verses is a good one.
No, I skipped that.
Mm-hmm. The following verses contrast. Just okay. Read that. Thanks.
The following verses contrast flesh and spirit as to wisdom, and those would be 1 Corinthians 2:12, Colossians 1:9. Service of God in Philippians 3, 3 and 4, that is Philippians 3, verses 3 and 4, and Galatians 6, verses 1 to 3. Contrasting flesh and spirit as to mind in Colossians 2, verse 18, and Colossians 1, verse 9. Will, John 1, 13, Philippians 2, 13. And worship, Colossians 2, verses 18 and 23, John 4, verses 23 and 24. And so I'll read that. The following verses contrast flesh and spirit as to wisdom, service of God, mind, will, and worship. The Spirit, this is a quote from Andrew Murray, the Spirit fits for worship, worship fits for the Spirit. So he says, the Spirit fits for worship, and worship fits for the Spirit. The great hindrance to the Holy Spirit is the flesh. And that's Galatians 5, verses 16 to 25.
Okay, so a life in obedience to God's will and in His presence fits us for worshiping in spirit and in truth. There is a connection between what our lives are like and what our worship will thus be like. Something we can do is to consider what problems we have in our lives currently with obeying the commands of Christ and the Word of God. In other words, people will say, I have an issue with this, with the Word of God. I have an issue with this command. I don't like this command. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing that. He can't make me do that. All right, and such talk. Okay, we'll see how that's working out for them, right? Okay. Remember, God knows. His desire is for us to acknowledge the truth and seek Him for the gift of repentance, that we might recover ourselves from the snares of the devil wherever we are being led captive or held captive to do the devil's will, 2 Timothy 2:25 and 26. Repentance is a gift. It's a gift. I've told people, you better beg for it because you got yourself in some real trouble here. Remember, God is holy, and God is sovereign, and he does as he pleases. And as one pastor said, I worked with a beach, we call it the beach ministry. It was a ministry to homeless people down on the beach here in Fort Lauderdale. And, you know, a couple hundred, 150 to 200 homeless people would show up every Sunday morning. And all kinds of things happened then. But sometimes somebody would complain, and they would go to this pastor. His last name was Brown, so Pastor Brown, and complain. And this pastor would spend all day Saturday, the day before, cooking huge vats of food, you know, containers and all like that. And there were 30 different churches at least involved in pulling this off. And everybody had an assignment. And it didn't work unless everybody showed up and fulfilled their assignment either. And so one guy one day, and I just happened to hear it, was complaining. He didn't like the food. He didn't like the food. Okay. And so this Pastor Brown turned to him and he said, "It's my party, Jack." Like that. "It's my party, Jack." And I don't know why. It just made me laugh. I mean, to me, it just made me laugh. This guy still, you know, he was obstinate. And he didn't realize all that went on so that he would not only have food, something to eat, but food to take with him. They, you know, had a clothing thing going there somehow. And there was everything there except for to cut their hair, because that was against the law. You can't do that. Okay. I mean, there was even a chiropractor who came there. I mean, you know, anyway, it's my party, Jack. Okay, so remember that. Walking in the Spirit, letting the Holy Spirit work through us, dying to self, etc., takes, I have found, a spirit of adventure. The living God has no fear. He tells us not to fear, for he is with us. Now, see, until we really think about that, I had a woman, I was going somewhere in the world, and she came over, she was very concerned, and she was like, "Oh no, it's too dangerous," you know, and she said, "You know, I don't know that God is with you on this mission." I said, "God is always with me. Wherever I go, he's always with me. And when I go into this place, he will be with me." Now, you can either value that or consider that nothing. If you consider it nothing, no thing, then what is God, the living God? A no thing? Nothing? Because God is with us. God was with Joseph, so he became a successful man. God with us. That's what Emmanuel means. God with us. He is with us. And so he tells us not to fear, for he is with us. All right. "For the God has not given us a spirit of fear or cowardice, but of power, dunamis, and of love, agapeo, and of a sound mind, self-control." And I forgot the reference there, but I think it's 1 Timothy 1:7. All right. And to all of this now, think of it, we say amen. And let's pray. Lord God, thank you for the body and blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ on our behalf. Thank you that you accepted that sacrifice and accept us in the Beloved. We ask that you prepare us to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. Cause and enable us to be able to accept your will as our only law. Help us to accept those in Christ that we might love one another. Thank you for what you are doing now to prepare us for a greater outpouring of your Spirit in our lives, a greater anointing, a more perfect obedience, and a more perfect alignment with the heart of the Holy Spirit and the mind of Christ. Lord, we know that there is a difference between studying the Word of God out of human wisdom and studying the Word of God being taught by and of the Holy Spirit. Keep us from soulish interpretations of your Word, from divisive disputes and vain philosophies. Father God, please work through the Holy Spirit in us in order to make the Word life and light in us. And if in humility we trusted in your guidance, submitted ourselves to the Word, and asked you to reveal in us by the Holy Spirit your thoughts, your mind, and your will, grant us the ability to obey you without resentment, without resistance, without rebuttal, and with all meekness. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now if you please stand for the benediction.
Hebrews 13:20-21. Now may the God of the peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.